Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, final hour, 9:05, Built Ford Tough Studio. It is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo right here on The Fan. And we started way back at 6 o'clock with the baseball, with the Mets and the Yankees. And I really thought the Mets were the story more so than the Yankees. The Yankees beat the Nationals, did what they had to do. So I'm certainly not taking anything away from them. It just seemed like you're playing the Nationals, you're at home, you go, you bludgeon them, which 10-5 doesn't even tell the story. They bludgeoned them last night. And so all good on the Yankee side of things. They will continue tonight. I think Luis Gil starts tonight. In terms of the Mets, that to me was the bigger story because you had a lot in that game that I thought was interesting. One, falling behind 3-0, you know, with a fan base that's starving for better baseball. And again, you don't get a good start from your ace pitcher in Kodai Senga. But I thought the fight this team showed up and down the order, specifically the bottom half, really did the job, and that team got a win, really one that they needed to bounce back from the loss in Atlanta.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. There was a lot of talk about how they kind of blew the last game in Atlanta, and you mentioned, and I got to give you your props, that when you go up 2-0, you expect to put the knife in them, and they didn't. They ended up losing that game, and then they go down, in reference to last night, you know, they're down 3, but they rally, right? And I don't know how much of the delay had to do with it. But they did respond after that. So credit the Mets, man. I thought it was telling because you thought you expected more out of Senga. It didn't give it to you. But when you have McNeil and Turner and all these other guys really produce at the level they were able to, man, it was a good night to be a Met.
Yeah, and Mark Vientos, who continues to hit the bat. And you're right when you talk about, you know, they're down 3-0. The starter's not doing the job. The bullpen has been much maligned recently. And you've got to be thinking, wow, here we go again with this. And and I do, and I, Andrew brought up a couple of pitchers that can pitch tonight for sure. But just, to me, it's more how many nights can you go by relying on the guys in the pen to get, you know, I only say 9, 12, 13, 14, last night 15 outs. It's hard. It's hard to do that on a consistent basis. But they did it last night. The big key now is, you know, this is a 3-game series. They won them while everyone can be annoyed, like I was, with the loss Sunday. Ultimately, they did take 2 of 3 in Atlanta. Go get tonight, and ultimately you will have won this series too. To me, while you want to win every game for sure, win your series. If you win your series from this point forward, you know, going into and through September, they will be a playoff team. Because if you can play 600 baseball, they will get where they need to be. So don't fool around. Go out tonight. Get the win. Maybe Sean Manaea can give you some length tonight and can kind of find it. And I think people will feel better about this team even more so tomorrow.
What do you think Mendoza's most pressed about? The pitching or?
Wow. You mean his biggest concern?
Correct.
There's a lot. I mean, it's the
bullpen. For me, it would be the bullpen.
The bullpen's a concern. You know, Nolan McClain has been really good, his two starts, but it's two starts, so I can't, like, get to the point where I feel like I'm relying on the kid yet. I think you're really concerned with Senga and Manaea. I don't know how you couldn't be. I would be, even though he was good last time out and gave you some length, you know, Clay Holmes is still in uncharted territory by being a starter this late in the season. I would be slightly concerned about that. I would be concerned about, you know, hitting with runners in scoring position, though they did it last night.
They did great.
That's been a major problem all season long. I would be concerned about the catching position. There's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, now, is there a lot that's good? Yes. Mark Vientos is really hitting the baseball again. Juan Soto got on base a million times last night. You know, Francisco Lindor, while 0 for 6 last night, has been fantastic of late for the last, you know, 4 weeks or so.
Yeah, and to your point with Lindor, it looks like the injury is behind him.
Yes, I would agree. I 100% agree with that. So there, while I can pick a lot of good things, the problem is I'm still stuck on a lot of things. When you ask me the question, what are you most concerned at? Throw them in a hat. Yeah. They're all, to me, a big concern with this team. Gio said something on Friday with Boomer. He said, what are the Mets good at right now?
That's a great question.
And what he meant by that is consistently good. Like, you're going to go to the ballpark. What do you know that you're going to get from them? Now, I could tell you, you know, Francisco Lindor's had a in the past, he's the most, I think, the most dominant shortstop fielding-wise in the game. This year's been a little shaky at times. He hasn't been himself. But I would say prior to this year, if you ask me what do they do consistently well, I know I'm going to the ballpark. I'm going to see Francisco Lindor play his ass off at shortstop. If I asked you right now, you're going to the park tonight. What do you know the Mets are going to do well at? What are they good at?
Give you a heart attack?
That's not a good answer. That's
I mean, they
answer.
Are. Like, listen, they were able to score 21 runs over the weekend against the Braves, right? And so you,
but then scored two against a guy who had an ERA of 7.
Exactly. That's where I'm going. So, like, it's hard to kind of put your hat on what's that one thing. But then they was able to rally last night and really get it done with runners in scoring position. So I don't know where do you put your hat at other than that they've showed grit. And they're going to give you a show. Either it's going to end bad or good, but you're going to get a show by some degree.
And I think what you just said is right. They have shown in the past, you used the word grit. I can say they've shown that they can be productive. And if they can get on a roll, they clearly can do it. We've seen it. Yeah. We saw what they did last year. And it's largely the same makeup of the team, adding Soto into the mix too. That would be the glass half full, as we've seen it before. And if this team got going and ever clicked on all cylinders, they can scare a lot of teams. And that's it. I think that's what you hang your hat on.
That's the only thing I could think of.
And they got to get there first.
But they got to win tonight too.
Oh, I agree. They got to get one. Got to get tonight or tomorrow. You got to win one of these next two games and win the series, and you'll feel pretty good about it. The other story that it came out about, I don't know, an hour ago or so, the Giants are indeed waiving Tommy DeVito. I can't, in any circumstance, believe he's going to end up on the practice.
Yeah, but Figs made a good point. If you're the Jets, go get him.
Any team that needs a backup
kid,
quarterback.
You know he's competent enough to play the position. He's a good backup. Can he win you two or three games? That's what you're really asking
for.
I think he can, too. Especially for a team if you're in the New York Jets who just let go of Adrian Martinez. Tyrod Taylor's still been out all of preseason dealing with an E. He's 35 years old, by the way. And you're putting the whole season on Justin Fields. Right? Like, you're going to, God forbid, Justin Fields gets dinged, you're going to need a guy who can buy you some time until you get Fields back on the field and healthy. So, if I'm Tommy D, whoever that guy that walks around with the fedora, tell him to call Glenn Amuji.
Call over to Florham Park. Though they could be interested in Mike White being let go by Buffalo. That's possible, too. And then you wonder, as the cuts go, is it 4 o'clock today? So the official deadline for all these cuts.
It's a rough day for a lot of ball players, man.
Yeah, as we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, it's rough.
It's a very tough day, you would think. And I'm sure there's a lot of guys right now just hoping their phone doesn't ring.
Not even that. There's a lot of that, too. And there's a lot of guys who are, you know, walking into airports not knowing what tomorrow's going to look like. And that's, you know.
Or if their career's over.
Correct.
Is there another quarterback of substance that you think would be available today? Other than Mike White and
Tommy DeVito? Well, I know the Lions let go of Hendon Hooker. They dropped him. Why did you just laugh? Why? Because I said
that's
Hooker?
Good. No, I mean, it's not exactly.
Well, he's not a big name, but he's okay. I liked him. I liked him in college.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I have a question. How is it? I understand the NFL is a little bit better than college. I get that. How is it that a guy can look so dominant in college and then be a backup in the NFL and when he gets his chance look like a deer in headlights?
Yeah. I don't know, man. So many guys, I think, fall into that position where they feel like they can be the difference. And when the game seems bigger than them, they lose confidence in themselves. It happens all the time. I thought he was going to be good. I did. It just didn't happen for him, unfortunately.
And then you've got guys like a Tom Brady or like a Brock Purdy who are thought so little of by everybody. And I'm really hoping that's Shedeur Sanders, too. I really hope that he gets a chance somewhere and plays really well. But you've got those two guys that are just great examples of not thinking anything of, and when they got their chance, not only didn't look like a deer in headlights, they grabbed it by the you-know-whats and ran with it, won to the Hall of Fame.
But that's why I think that's why Jackson Dart has had so much success this preseason. I mean, the kid hasn't thrown an interception. I think he's thrown for over 370, he's thrown 372 yards, 3 touchdowns. Like, he looks like, man, this guy looks like he started week one. But it's because he doesn't have to come and be the guy right away.
True.
All he has to do is just be Jackson Dart. He knows there's two veteran guys who are more than capable to lead in the charge. He just has to be a competent rookie and show that he can play at that level. So that's why I think he's had so much early success. And that's why I'm worried about the Giants, because don't get itchy about this, right? Like, I'm glad he's...
Oh, about trying to get him in too soon.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he showed poise. He's confident throwing the ball. you know, they talked about his effectiveness and efficiency and being a leader and all that swag and moxie he has. Good. You drafted good. Stay there. Keep the Lambo in the garage, right? Like, you need a field general, Russell Wilson, and you need some veteran guys out there to get you through this tough month of March. Don't feel like you have to get him out there because, Jerry, you know, like I know, if you do go to him early and he doesn't pan out, where do you turn?
Well, you get fired.
Boom.
Now, that said, a lot of this will be on Russell Wilson. I mean, if Russell Wilson plays well,
give Russ six games at least.
Yeah, well, it depends on how those games go. I mean, if they're 0-4 and they look like crap, they are going to make it. Now, I think with you said yesterday, you think they go to Jameis Winston first.
Yeah, I think
the season's salvageable still.
Right.
I think at 0-4 not playing well, I don't think it matters. I think I think that's when they go to him.
Yeah, but I don't think 0-4 cancels you out the season. I don't think that erases you.
No, but it's hard to come back 100%. From that, you know?
And I know it's a tough division. I get all that. But nevertheless, I don't think that. I think once you go to a young guy that early, you're telling the rest of the team, let's start preparing for this.
I don't think there's any question about it. Yeah. There were players in the Giant locker room back in 0-4 when they went to Eli that were not happy about it. You know, they were 5-4. And again, I said this yesterday or 2 days ago. Kurt Warner, while they were 5, kind of similar to Justin Fields in a way. Justin Fields was 4-2 and lost his job last year to Russell Wilson. Kurt Warner and the Giants were 5-4. That system, though, wasn't what Warner was doing with the Rams. It just wasn't. Mm-hmm. And while they were winning, it didn't feel great.
Clunky.
It was. And mm-hmm. I really do think the thinking inside the Giants was, this is nice. We're 5-4. We're not winning, though. Like we know long, we're not winning this season the way this looks.
Yep.
Make the move. I am with you. Let the kid sit. Some want him to play immediately. I think it's a good thing that he's going to sit, and you've got two capable quarterbacks in front of him.
Yeah, I just don't want the Giants to rush the recipe, right? Like, you got an opportunity in a division where a lot of people aren't thinking highly of you. But as I stated, I think the defense is going to be a lot better. I think the offensive line is better. I think you have two studs and Malik Nabers. I think Theo Johnson is going to be good for them. I think the kid Miller, if he can become a legit third down receiver for them. The run game, I think, with Tracy, like, there's a lot of hope and potential there. Things start clicking for you, or if they don't, I still don't feel the need to throw him out there right away. Kind of let this thing manifest and preserve Jackson Dart until you build this roster up when it's ready for him.
Totally understood. Here's Danny in Queens. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning. Big fan.
Thanks.
Listen, you had a very good point before. Why are some of these guys in college really good, lighten it up, and they get to the pros, and as soon as they get a chance to start, they're not good? Because the guys they're playing against in college are not NFL pros. They're future used car salesmen, insurance salesmen.
Danny, I totally get that. I understand that. But I also know when you're playing at places like, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, Texas, UCLA, you can name the biggest programs. They're playing pretty damn good competition. And what I mean is, like, they look like they can't even throw the ball down the field.
Yeah.
They can't hit a wide open receiver. And I know the game's a little bit faster. I'm not stupid. But it also, I mean.
Well, that was the knock on Shedeur Sanders. If you turn on the tape, yeah, his numbers, like, man, look at this kid's numbers. He got it. I mean, he's also throwing bubble screens. And quick slants. It wasn't like he was sitting there dissecting defenses throughout his college career.
But you know what I see from a lot of, like, really successful NFL teams? I see quick releases, bubble passes, quick slants.
Right, because so much is invested on that guy. You have to manufacture the offense around him.
Okay.
And so.
Can't something, yeah, I guess. I just.
So you got to meet a guy where he's at. Instead of throwing, and that's why I love listening to Brady talk. A lot of these kids aren't going through a system. You know what I mean? They're kind of like, all right, what can you do now? Let's kind of build around what you can do now and see if
it'll
work.
Isn't that what they're doing in Chicago with Caleb Williams? Isn't that the idea?
Well, that's what's scary about that situation, because I think Caleb's still going to need more time. Ben Johnson's being a young coach in Valley. He seems like he's a evil genius on the offensive play calling. But Caleb still is going to need more. Like, a lot of his game isn't sitting in a pocket and delivering the football. It's improv, throwing off platform, rolling out. And hopefully this run game and new offensive line the Bears have can help him out with that. But I think having Caleb sitting in the pocket throwing the ball 30 to 35 times a game, it's not going to help the Bears out.
All right, one more before the break. Brendan in Orange, Connecticut. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Good morning.
Sure,
I'm sitting in traffic on the Merritt Parkway all morning, so I love listening to you guys. Anyways, I'm calling about the New York Yankees. So, a lifelong fan. I'm 35. They were great when I was a kid, and now they just they continue to break my heart. We won five straight. We're doing all right. Shortstop last two games. Should I keep investing? Should I keep staying up late watching them every night?
Yes.
Do we have a shot?
What do you guys think? Yeah, you've got Max Fried. You've got Giancarlo Stanton. You got Aaron Judge, Cody Bellinger, Carlos Rodon.
Jazz.
You've got a shot. And not for nothing. I know for Yankee fans it's about winning a World Series. Try and enjoy it, though. I mean, try and enjoy. You are watching.
But the defense, it's so hard to watch. It breaks my heart.
I understand. I totally get it. But let's put it this way. It gives you 3 hours every night to just kind of enjoy baseball. And then when you get to the postseason, then you can really get pissed off. but I understand his point. They, you know, at times they're very, like that Thursday night game against the Red Sox, embarrassing.
Yeah.
Four errors in a game, three, I think, in the one inning. It's not what it should be.
I
hear you. But yes, you can win. You were two wins away from winning the title last year.
I want to say this. I do think Yankee fans would feel more at ease, not at ease, but have more solace if they felt Aaron Boone and company were really doing things to kind of combat some of the errors we were seeing.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think for a fan base, if you're seeing like, all right, we're watching fans of Volpe, right? We're seeing him kind of go through a slump and kind of spiral downward. If there was some insight or something to tell the fans, like, listen, this is what this kid's doing after practice, right? It goes back to, I remember when, who was it? It was Giannis. Antetokounmpo, he missed some free throws.
And he's out there shooting free throws for
an hour. Yeah. And I remember the critics was like, see, he cares. See, like, even though he blew the game or missing those free throws, it seemed like the fan base was like, that's an athlete that's working at it. Am I wrong? You know what I'm saying?
No, I think part of you is right. I think where I hope you're wrong is if you don't think that these guys are working, then I think your head's in the sand.
Okay.
Because I and you might be right. There might be a large portion of the fan base that thinks, let's just use Volpe for the moment, that he shows up at 5 o'clock, and he takes batting practice, uses the bathroom, plays a game, gets in the car and goes home. I don't believe that to be the case.
I think the kid's grinding. I think he cares. I think he's obviously passionate about it, his job, rightfully so. But I think fans want to see a guy do more when you know the problem is you.
And I do think they do more, but I think you're right. Maybe they need to do a better job of showing it, the extra work that's being put in. Like when guys are in slumps, you know, a lot of those guys are in the tunnels, you know, in the batting cages for hours, show up at the park at 1-2 o'clock for a 7 o'clock game.
Right.
The work does get done. I just don't think we see it.
I agree, but yeah. Maybe that's a PR thing. I don't know how you kind of show a guy kind of working.
You said it.
Yeah.
I think you post it and you show video.
That's what I would do. I'm like, listen, for everybody that's on Volpe's neck, this kid is here at 10 o'clock in the morning working with our infield coach, doing the work, getting the reps. He's working. I think that takes the pressure off a kid, and I take the pressure off the teams. He's just not showing up, and we're consistently seeing the same thing because I think a lot of fans are like, are we changing this, or are we going to keep watching the same thing?
All right. Groundhog's Day.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 9:30, Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. Reminder, tomorrow, Sal live at Salt Shack in Babylon for a Surfside event. He'll be doing the show live there from 10 to 12:30. You can go watch. It should be a lot of fun. I'll join him then around 12:30 when I get out there. So head out tomorrow to Salt Shack, 10 a.m. for Sal solo. No. He does not. Big fan of Sal's, as you know.
Love Sal.
Andrew, this is it. This has been fun, right? So good, so far, so good.
I'm having a good time. Good. I hope I've done well for you guys, and we
all
hope CeeLo's off his deathbed.
Yes, I think CeeLo.
You're welcome.
Will be fine. Although, like I said, sometimes these things take a little time, so maybe he needs another day. We'll see.
In the meantime, I can tell you that the Tommy DeVito era is over for now. The Giants reportedly releasing the backup QB, with rosters needing to be down to 53 players by this afternoon. I think you guys mentioned this, though, before. There is some logic to maybe DeVito ending up with the Jets behind Tyrod Taylor on their QB depth chart.
Sure.
Those Jets cuts, they begin with tackle Carter Warren this morning. They also have decisions to make at wide receiver. Who are they keeping, and do they want to bring anyone in from the outside? Rich Cimini asked Aaron Glenn about wide receiver trade speculation yesterday.
Well, I'll let you guys do that. The speculation comes from you guys. You know, the thing that we try to do here is we try to build our roster. And we don't let any of that information out. And I'm not going to let you know right now. You know, so I like where we're at as far as the team's concerned, but we're still always looking. And we still have more practices to go for guys to continue to earn their keep. And that'll happen when time needs to be.
No nonsense mentality right there.
There's a new name to at least speculate about, Jakobi Meyers in Vegas.
Would be great.
Reportedly wants a trade, which might be why Vegas is bringing in Amari Cooper. Meyers has not gotten the new deal he's been asking for. He's scheduled to make just under $11 million this season. He's coming off a 1,000-yard campaign.
Yeah, the Raiders would be foolish to let him go. I mean, they don't have anybody.
Right.
And as far as the wide receiver department. But if they do let him go, I mean, this KI was targeted 126 times, but it wasn't credited with a drop. Like, the guy is sure hands as it comes. He could definitely help the Jets receiver room for sure.
And one of my favorite names from those Jakobi Meyers law firm commercials.
Oh,
that's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
I see what you did there.
The best thing we can say about Kodai Senga's Monday night might be it could have been worse. The slumping Mets righty allowed 3 runs on 6 hits and 3 walks over 4+. After the Mets scored 3 in the bottom of the 4th to tie the Phillies, Senga went back out for the 5th and hit JT Realmuto, so Carlos Mendoza had to pull up.
A lot of non-competitive pitches, a lot of balls out of the hand, you know, and then not being able to get ahead or compete in the strike zone. And when you're getting behind hitters, especially when you're facing a lineup like that, it's going to be hard.
That is not something you want your manager to say after you pitch. A lot of non-competitive pitches.
Ugh.
That's awful.
Fleegs and I were discussing this on the warm-up show this morning. Mendoza, by infinity, leads Aaron Boone in negative comments.
Yeah.
Like, the frustration comes through Mendy much quicker than it does Aaron Boone. It feels
Boone
like
definitely backs his guys 100%.
Yes.
And Mendoza seems annoyed at times.
Which is okay.
And by the way, Boone comes across annoyed too, but still doesn't go over the line that way.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Boone's brand is always protecting the locker room.
He does.
And I think with the scrutiny that the team deals with day in and day out, he's always going to put the team first. So,
luckily for Mendoza and the Mets, the bullpen was much better last night. 5 relievers got 15 outs. They allowed just 1 walk, and the Mets kept hitting, running away for a 13-3 win over the Phillies, cutting their lead down to 6 games in the division. Mark Vientos, a pair of RBI doubles. Luis Torrens homered and drove in 5. Jeff McNeil, 3 RBI. Then the Reds lost to Dodger Stadium 7-0, so the Mets have a 2.5-game cushion for the last wild card spot. The Yankees won last night as well, as you probably know by now, 10-5 over the Nationals, but also winning the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, and the Mariners, so no changes to the postseason picture this morning. It was 10-0 Bombers last night through 8 after homers from Rice, Jazz, and Dominguez, plus 3 RBIs from Cody Bellinger, plus 6 scoreless from Cam Schlittler.
I think the big thing is just, you know, always being confident. That's something that's been important to me, you know, over the last 2 years. So just being able to see the results as well and, you know, getting the confidence from the guys in this room as well just makes it a lot easier to go out there and just, you know, do my job.
When do you think, so it's August 26th now, right? 26th, 20th. Obviously the standings matter because we're in the middle of pennant races and wild card chases. At what point are you so locked in on the other teams every single night? Are you there already?
I don't know how you're not. The Mets got to discuss this over the weekend that it's not time to scoreboard watch yet, and I've been watching for weeks now. How do you not check on what the other people are doing?
You know, I happen to agree. I was just curious if, you know, some people, because we've seen things change and flip so quickly, like a good month, bad month, and you could have a team in front of you then in your rear of your mirror very quickly. I'm wondering if you got to get into September before you start to really be concerned about the Reds. To me, it's always about your team. Win your games and you're going to be in good shape.
Right.
Don't win your games, it's your fault.
Well, and especially when you're not playing the way you think you should play, it's more about being yourself and figuring that out and taking care of your own business.
You're a Met fan. I'll ask you the question. I asked this to Willie. This was Gio on Friday. If I asked you right now, what do the Mets do consistently well every game? What is it?
Nothing.
See?
Game to game, nothing.
Nothing.
That's the problem.
Yeah, and that's an issue.
That's
a big issue for this team.
And the issue with winning the division is I don't think that they can win 10 of 11 games. Like, I don't think they have that consistency right now to run off a
week
and a half.
But isn't that what they are, though? They're Mattingly? How do I say that word?
It's a tough one.
Manic?
Mattingly? There's too many. There's too many D's and N's in there.
They are horribly consistently inconsistent. See, if you told me they ran off 9 straight wins right now, I wouldn't be shocked. And if you told me they lost the next 4, I wouldn't be shocked.
But for them to win 9 straight, that's asking a lot of Senga, Minaya, Holmes. So
they win 7 straight 3 weeks ago?
I don't know.
Right. That's the point.
I don't know. But that seems like 3 years ago.
You can't figure them out. They make nothing make sense with them this season.
Or this is them. And maybe we have to stop asking questions or wondering when do they flip it. This is who they are, which is why I'm still nervous about them even making the playoffs.
I agree with you.
I think they're going to make it.
Yeah, but it's no lock. Like, if I was going to put money on the Mets or the Yankees, I would take every dime I have on the Yankees making the postseason. I don't think I'd put a penny on the Mets right now.
No, every Met, fan account hosts here that keep having, how do you line up these pitchers in the postseason? I don't want those conversations yet. Yankees can figure that out. If Aaron Boone wanted to sit down and, backtrack from a possible game one of the postseason and who he wants to pitch and lining up rest and whatnot, he could do that right now. Carlos Mendoza can't think past tomorrow.
Right. Let's have those conversations October 1st.
Yeah, when they're in.
But I think it goes back to what you're saying. Sometimes it's just who you are.
Yeah.
As long as you are where you need to be, that is the makeup of the team.
Yeah, but if this is who they are, then that who is not going to be
NL champion very quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the fear. That's the concern.
And you know what? And I always come back to that Giants game I mentioned yesterday, where it felt like last year would have been a game they would have won. You know what? Last night had that feel. Last year kind of written all over it.
Definitely.
So that's a positive.
We've got a little drama, a little confusion this morning surrounding Fox's coverage of Saturday's Ohio State-Texas showdown. Fox has added Barstool's Dave Portnoy to its pregame show this season, and reports last night said the Buckeyes had banned Portnoy from their stadium because he's a Michigan fan and thus an Ohio State hater. But this morning, new reports and then comments from OSU AD Ross Bjork say this is all a Fox decision, that Portnoy is not on their main desk. He's not part of the main crew. So he would have never been in the stadium to begin with. He was always going to be outside. So this is about Fox.
So Ohio State didn't ban him.
That's what Ohio State says. They didn't ban him.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Let's stop.
I know.
Let's not be dumb. Dave has always been anti. He's a Michigan guy. Always stood on a platform and talked about how Michigan's just better.
He got them Bryce Underwood.
We know what it's about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure wherever they're going in week two, I'm guessing he's going to be on the field for that pregame show.
He's going to find his way into the building.
Yes, he is.
We forgot this man broke into the Super Bowl not too long ago. He's going to find his way into the building.
And finally, guys, our moment of the day when Willie identified as a yogi.
I want to be able to do the Tai Chi. I want to be able to whip out. I want to be able to kind of just whip out any move without feeling like I need a dynamic warm-up to do so.
How many of these classes have you been to?
I haven't been to one yet.
Pre-yoga.
I start next week.
October 1st at the latest.
The conversation that I just heard during the break, I thought you were like a yoga expert. You haven't gone yet.
I'm not a yogi, but I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Me and Eddie, I feel like we got to join forces. This may be me and you. We may have to do this together, Eddie.
Hey, Andrew, I said to him, yoga seems like a great idea. And every time I've tried it numerous times, I can't get past it. It's just there's not any action. He's talking to me like he's been doing it for years. You just have to embrace this and you've got to do that. Yeah. You've never done it.
Haven't done it yet. No. haven't even entered the studio.
Have you bought a membership? How far down the road are you here?
I've had one conversation.
Okay.
Do you have yoga pants yet?
Don't wear yoga pants.
I don't
pants.
Even have a mat.
So you know where you could go.
I know what I need to do. I know where I need to be, what I need to do. Okay. I just haven't really kind of walked the mile yet.
You haven't walked the foot. You've got anywhere. Yeah, that's and I wish people could have heard the conversation off air between him and Eddie, because that's where it really sounded like you knew what you were doing and you had done it before. That's why I was so taken aback when you were like, "Yeah, I've never taken a class." What? Anyhow, Andrew, great job. Thank you very much, and we will see you again maybe tomorrow. Who knows? We shall see. Andrew Bogish.
It's Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
The Boomer and Geo Podcast from WFAN.
All right, 10 in front of 10. I don't know what's going on here, but I got...
I'm having an... me and Fleek's not... Me and Eddie have been vibing. Me and Fleek's are not vibing. We're just not on the same pace today.
So Willie's having a conversation with Eddie about... All he does is say, you know, hey, Eddie, are you a key lime pie guy? And I can't hear the conversation, but I'm assuming the answer was yes, because you're
Eddie
vibing
is.
With Eddie.
He said he is, yeah.
You asked me. I said, no, I'm more of a chocolate mousse person. Okay, fine. You didn't care for that. That's fine.
But then I don't know what Fleegs was saying
to you. Well, I asked Fleegs what did he like between, which one is, between the two options, which one does he prefer here?
And I took your side. I'm, again, chocolate over key
chocolate
lime pie. Chocolate, anything over almost anything else all the time.
Right, but there was another sentence that pissed me off. It was the dessert one you just said.
Which was what?
What did you say, Flakes?
I said I prefer my desserts to be like chocolatey and sugary, where like a key lime pie is
sugary,
but like a sugary, tangy. Where I don't know,
tart.
Yeah, it's another good word.
Is it? I don't know.
It is.
I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't think I've ever had it.
Let's end the show. Let's just wrap it up and let's just start over tomorrow.
I also did say, I would have guessed between the two that obviously neither one is healthy for you, that chocolate in most of its forms that we eat it is less healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's in key lime pie other than lime.
Lime, condensed milk, graham cracker.
I mean, just right off the bat, the lime has to give it a little bit boost over, you know, chocolate donut, chocolate cake, chocolate cookie.
But the chocolate mousse, I mean, how do you go wrong with chocolate mousse?
I'm just not a mousse
guy.
A
little whipped cream on
it. My sister loves it. Shout out to my sister, Joy. She's obsessed with it. I can't do it.
Now, that wouldn't be my favorite, though. My favorite would still be, it's still the chocolate shake from Carvel.
You're a chocolate guy.
Yes.
Everything's chocolate with
you. No, not everything, but most things. Yeah.
Okay.
Most things. I would still go with that over the pie or the cakes or the cookies. Now, Boomer is an Oreo guy. I mean, he...
Oreos are addictive.
Loves Oreos.
My little one, my dear little Holly, she can polish off a sleeve of Oreos.
Oh, I mean...
You know what's dangerous? Have you had the Oreo Thins?
Oh, I love the mint ones?
I've had the regular ones, but either way, with the thin cookie, it's incredible.
The Thins. Yeah.
They do make the mint and regular.
Oh, there's a mint.
Well, they have the thin mint ones.
The Girl Scout cookies.
No, they have the mint.
No, they're right. I know Will is right. They don't make every flavor in the Thins, but mint is one of the ones that they do.
The one that it's almost a problem for me, I'm going to be honest. They have the white fudge chocolate covered Oreos. They pull out around Christmas time. I put them in the freezer, and I surprise myself. And I'm like, oh, look at that, in the back of the icebox. And I get to pound town on those things.
By the way, we're having this conversation on the same morning we talked about the biggest loser. And what we have to do to be better.
Right.
I don't
Failing
think
miserably at this moment.
Consuming Oreos, shakes, and key lime pies is part of that.
Gotta live a little.
Well, we can live. I'm not saying I won't live.
Just don't kill yourself in the process.
Oh, well, that's true, too. Yeah. Right.
Oreos and Reese's are teaming up for a collaboration soon. That's living to me.
Stop the presses.
That is the happiest I've seen him in 2 days.
I'm giddy.
They're doing both. They're doing, like, Oreo-flavored Reese's and Reese's-flavored Oreos.
Look at that, man.
Have you tried the ice creams that have the candies in them?
Like what? Like the...
No, Breyers makes them. Turkey Hill makes them.
No, I'm a mint chocolate chip guy. That's the only thing I really eat.
Really?
Yeah,
I'm not an ice cream guy.
Nah, I only eat one flavor. I don't run the rainbow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The one I could
do less with? That's why we work, Jerry.
This is why we work, Jerry.
Positives and negatives, baby.
I like the
opposites attract,
like
Jerry.
Mint chocolate chip. The chocolate chip was fine. We need to add the mint to it.
The mint is the finishing touch.
Yeah, not for me. Yeah, it doesn't taste sweet enough.
I don't want you to ever make that face when talking about mint chocolate chip. When you just, the disgust that came over your
face. No, I didn't say I don't like it. I'm just not a big fan of it. If I have an opportunity, I would take 7 different flavors before I would go there.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. No question. Regular chocolate chip, chocolate, vanilla, peanut butter ice cream is insanely.
Peanut butter ice cream?
It's insane. So there's a place in Middletown called Barrel, in Middletown, New Jersey, called Barrel and Roost. And we all know the owner, Nicholas, who runs the place. He also has his own ice cream shop.
Okay.
The peanut butter ice cream that you get from this place is so good. We almost go to dinner just to get the ice cream afterwards.
Why then skip dinner? Go right to the ice cream.
Well, it's not.
You don't want to be judged.
Ice cream place. I'm just saying.
You don't want to be on the biggest loser.
But it's that good. So now we buy it. The other brands, it's so good.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I would. And I've told this story many times,
You a cone or cup guy?
Cup.
See, you got to grow up.
No, no. See,
what do you mean? You got to grow up. You got to go.
Cone is like a child.
No, it's not.
The
cone is a professional.
An adult.
A cone, if you can eat, it's a professional move.
Disagree.
Cup means you're too snooty.
An adult walking around sucking ice cream off a cone doesn't look right.
Sucking? Am I sucking
it
anything?
It does not look right. Yeah, that's true. Give me a spoon and let me look like an adult.
Watch this right here. Eddie, cup of cone.
Oh, cone.
Die. That's my dog. That's my dog.
Fleegs.
Fleegs. Fleegs is like Dixie cup.
No, he did say cup, though.
He did.
He did say cup.
I haven't thought of Dixie cups in like 10 plus 15 years. Those were incredible.
You ever think about the crap the food we got in school?
Oh, man. I remember I used to get excited for square pizza and a chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk, square pizza, and then you would get the Dixie cup for dessert.
No question.
What are we eating?
It was insane, the stuff they used to just feed us and how excited. I remember, what was the other thing we used to get? I forgot what it was. I think it was like, it's like a ham sandwich, some type of thing.
Ham sandwich?
It's like something I was like giddy about.
Spam?
No, it wasn't spam. I forgot what it was. I'm drawing a blank. But
what about Luigi's Italian Ice?
Oh, I'm a fan of that.
That's pretty.
Yeah, I'm in.
Turn the bottom over.
Yeah,
you get to the good stuff.
Get the chomping at it.
You know what I saw yesterday?
What's that?
I went home. I told my wife I found my retirement business.
What's that?
In Jersey City yesterday, I saw an ice cream truck.
Mm-hmm.
A Carvel ice cream truck.
Oh, I've seen
that's
that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen that.
I've seen that before.
I've seen the little ones that run around the neighborhood. You know, the different random names, but not a Carvel truck.
Do kids run out the house anymore for the ice cream trucks?
They're not outside playing anymore, so if they're going to, they better run out the house. But I know the one by me is still very popular.
I heard a Missy Softy truck the other day, and it was a little nostalgic. I was like, I remember just like stop whatever I was doing.
Yeah, well, we would be outside playing touch football, hockey, or whatever.
And I remember hightailing just to get to the truck and like barely making it. Like, can I get them? Please.
Please. So true.
Yeah. You got to go to Citi Field. That's who is the ice cream vendor there. It's Mr. Softy.
Is that really?
Nice. Replaced Carvel a few years ago.
This is the first season in I don't even know how long. I've not been to a game. And I know there's still time, but I'm probably not going to get there this year.
Why?
My schedule. It's hard to do during the week. And the weekends, with football starting, is very difficult to do.
But aren't you supposed to go with Al? Because he's going to lose the bet?
I'm not doing the day I said. The day was going to be the 14th. I was supposed to be going to Dallas for the Cowboy game, Cowboy Giants. I'm not going. That's U.S. Open. I'm not. No. As much as I want to make him pay to lose the bet, I'm not dealing with that.
So next spring?
Too much traffic. It'll have to be next spring. Or I'll take him, so we'll do something else. I'll get him out of his condo on a Saturday. I just don't know where or how. I will win that bet. With Bill Belichick on the sideline.
You talking about Al Dukes?
Yeah.
I want to roll up on Al Dukes at his place unannounced.
We could do that.
Can we?
Yeah, he wouldn't let us in, but we could do that.
Oh, I'm going to get in. I can get in.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.